Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, everyone. Well, it's been a while since our last Blackhawks Crazy podcast. A little over 3 weeks since we came to you from the Blackhawks convention. And if you hear the ambient sound, no, this is not Powell at the park. It is your Blackhawks Crazy podcast. Chris Bowden, your pre and post host on WGN Radio for all Blackhawks games, alongside the Chelsea blogger, Scott King. And Scott, it was really a busy sports day in Chicago on Tuesday. We had Cubs news concerning a trade. We had another Bears injury that popped up concerning another one of their young players up in Lake Forest. There was also White Sox injury news as well, unfortunately, as we keep an eye on manager Ricky Renteria. And there was also, you know, some kid making his major league debut, which is a sidebar to us, because the real story tonight on Tuesday night here at Guaranteed Rate Field was what?
That'd be Alex DeBrincat throwing out the first pitch for Blackhawks night. It doesn't get any bigger than that. That is your big story. Everything that happens, even politics, too, throw everything together. It's all about DeBrincat, baby.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit later on about what we saw in Michael Kopech and what was a rain-shortened Major League debut. And the reason it was rain-shortened, I'll explain that a little bit later as well. But they gave away Tommy Hawk in a White Sox jersey bobbleheads to Blackhawks season ticket holders who came to the game, who also were allowed to parade around the dirt along the baseball field prior to the game.
Appetizing.
Yeah, they got their moment of glory here at Guaranteed Rate Field. But you mentioned that as part of Blackhawks night, Alex DeBrincat was the man who threw out the first pitch. And, you know, he was facing a little bit of pressure based on one of the ceremonial first pitchers, if you will, a couple of home games earlier. There was a huge amount of pressure on Brinksy here.
There was. He saw the Sister Joe viral clip. So, you know, it was in his head. And, you know, we can joke about it, but you see something like that, you got to go out there. It's right. It makes you nervous. It puts a little pressure on you.
The Sister Mary Joe, Marian Catholic, yeah, I think she was on every national TV, as you hear who's warming up in the White Sox bullpen in the background as we come to you from the pre- and post-game booth on WGN Radio. But let's hear from Alex DeBrincat. Before he threw out his first pitch, we, I guess, checked his nerves level, and he also told Scott and I during this pre-game and pre-first pitch celebration, or delivery, I should say, that baseball isn't totally foreign to him.
Yeah, I played baseball when I was a little bit younger, and then when I went to school at Lake Forest Academy, I played JV baseball there, so I've never done a first pitch, so we'll see how it goes.
What was the position?
I played second base and shortstop. When I was really young, I played a little bit of catcher, so I don't know. Yeah, no pitching, though.
Well, you know, you've heard by now there's a high bar that you're following with Sister Mary Jo. You saw what she does the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Can you match that, you think, or no?
No, definitely not. No, I'm not even going to try. So, yeah, I'm just going to try to lob one in there and get it in the mitt. Hopefully it's not in the dirt. So, yeah, I think I'm going to take a pretty simple approach and not buzz one through there. So,
well, she had some heat on it. You're just going to try to put in a strike zone, right?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think if I put any heat on it, it's not going in the strike zone. So, yeah, that was pretty incredible. I watched that a few times. It's fun to watch, for sure.
Did you know that Kopech was making his debut tonight when they asked you to do this?
No, I didn't. I found out actually this morning on an interview. So it's pretty exciting for him, and I know a lot of fans are excited about him too. I don't know too much about him, but I heard he's pretty promising prospect, and you know, hopefully he can perform well today.
Well, you know what it's like to be a promising prospect. What do you think's going through his head? Went through your head, your first game, expectations, pressure? How did you handle it?
Definitely a lot of nerves. I mean, it's your dreams becoming a reality. So, you know, you try to take in as much as you can, and I'm sure he's doing the same thing. And I don't think he's thinking too much about expectations. I think he's just trying to go out there and play the game he knows he can. And, you know, I think that's the best way to approach it.
I know you're itching to get things going in 3 weeks because it has been too long of a summer. And you've been used to even previously playing throughout summers in different tournaments and leagues. How has this been different? How have you adapted?
It's been nice. I've had a pretty relaxing summer. I think not moving from place to place is pretty nice. And I mean, being able to just train every day, every week, it's pretty nice. And, you know, I'm really excited to get the season going.
Did you practice the first pitch today, throwing it all? I know as of this morning, you did not.
No, I did not. I probably should have. Hopefully I can get a few practices in before, maybe on the side of the field or something.
Yeah, but we won't keep you too much longer. You do what Kendall Coyne did. She took a hockey stick and flicked a baseball right into the catcher's mitt, so maybe that was the route to go. So.
Maybe. I didn't bring my stick, though, so that's not happening. But, yeah, that might have been the route to go.
Hey, I know heading into the semifinals this week of the Summer Hockey League, yeah, I think you're the leading point producer and scorer in that, for what it's worth. But how has that benefited you, you know, playing a little bit of hockey, even though it might not be what the kind of hockey that Joel may prefer watching?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of fun. It's a fun league to, you know, play in and play against a lot of good players. So, I mean, moving on, I think it gets you into game shape. And, you know, if the speed is up there, it's really good. So, you know, you can condition all you want, but once you play a game, it's so much different. So I think that really helps you and helps you get in the game shape.
And final question was, before you, you know, went off for your summer after final interviews, you got a chance to meet with the media. One thing you were talking about focusing on the off season was perhaps putting on a couple pounds or a couple, you know, a little bit more muscle. Has that goal been accomplished, and what else have you been focusing on?
Yeah, I mean, I have put on a few pounds. You know, we've really been trying to just get stronger and faster, and you know, I mean, on the ice, just round out all everything pretty much. You know, get the all around game better, and you know, in the gym, I've been training pretty hard, and just trying to, yeah, like I said, get stronger, faster, and more explosive.
Yeah, and you got your new teammate there in the summer league, trying to wrap things up here to clinch the prestigious championship.
Yeah, I mean, I hope he's there the next few days. So he really helps our team out. So yeah, it's always fun to play with him, and you know, just watch him. You know, it's a lot of fun.
Right, for those who aren't aware, it's Patrick Kane. So maybe you'll get some more ice time with
him. I think people know.
Yeah. I think so. All right. Well, let you loosen up here, and all eyes are on you, man. Good luck on the first pitch.
Thank you.
You may have seen Alex's delivery of that ceremonial first pitch, either shown on the broadcast or on social media. Scott and I were both posting that as well. What did you think of his approach and the final result?
Well, we were talking right after. I think you made a judgment. You made the umpire's call right after. You thought it was a strike. I agree, a little low and outside, but it was probably in the strike zone.
Picky.
Probably in the strike zone.
Yeah?
I think it was there, yeah.
But the fact that he did not go on the mound, you know what, we'll twist this in Alex's favor. We'll just say he didn't want to twist an ankle or something falling.
I think maybe
off
that was an organizational decision. Maybe it was the White Sox and not him. Or maybe the Blackhawks. I don't know.
Right. But you heard how a little, he had some butterflies going on before that ceremonial first pitch and went up to the dirt right in front of the mound before delivering. All good. Got himself a good reception here as well on Blackhawk Night. And you asked him a great question during the course of that interview, Scott. And it was, he could relate to what Michael Kopech, really the man of the hour, as we joke about it here, was going through, because it was less than a year ago that he was sitting in that same situation as the two-time defending champion Pittsburgh Penguins came into the United Center. And, kid, here, have at it. Make your NHL debut.
Yeah, I mean, he was another highly touted prospect. That's something they could identify with together. I mean, you talk about Alex had 127 points in the OHL. Fans wanted to see him right away. And, you know, I think he became a mainstay sooner than people thought, became a fan favorite sooner than people thought. So he certainly knows what Kopech is going through tonight.
And Kopech's night, as we do this now, is done. We were going to wait till it was done, but it got done a little bit earlier, unfortunately. And the reason for that, folks, you can thank me, because anytime I show up for baseball games on a work assignment, there is either a rain delay or extra innings. It's why I requested late in my old CSN career. No thanks. I'm not really interested. If someone else can do it... go ahead and do it. That's the reason is Andy Mazur shakes his head here. I don't want any part of pre and post game on the White Sox. And they do a great job himself and Mark Harmon and Adam Hoge as well. But Kopech ends up going two innings before the rains come. I think he learns, yeah, you might be able to spin it 98 to 102, but major league hitters, unlike AAA hitters, they can get a bat around on some of that. Even though he allowed three hits in the two innings, no runs, I think there was only one sharply hit ball. But there are ways some of these major league hitters, no matter what the Twins lineup may look like, are able to figure out some hard throwers like Kopech is.
You've covered a lot more baseball than me, but I think 35 strikeouts on 52 pitches is pretty good for a debut.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, no runs, 52 pitches. He looked pretty good. To have pretty decent control in your debut and to always be around 97, 98, it seemed like almost every pitch was around there. I thought he looked really good, especially with all the pressure.
And especially, you know, he earned this based on what he had done since really a midseason slump down in Charlotte. You can tell when he takes the mound, there is a presence to him. You can really tell once he throws the ball what those talents are. I was most impressed by the fact he didn't walk anybody. He did hit a man, but struck out four. Yeah, who wants to be hit by a Michael Kopech pitch? And he also faced a little bit of adversity in that first inning where he had to wiggle out of some trouble, and the moment didn't seem too big for him, and I think that's really an encouraging sign. If White Sox fans were amped up about this kid heading in, the fact that, you know, he faced a little bit of adversity early on, was able to overcome it. Yeah, you wanted to see more of him. I think it was the right move by the White Sox after the 52-minute rain delay after his 52-pitch performance, not to send him out here and just play it safe.
No, they got him out. I think fans will be happy they saw what they saw. You see his first pitch, you see his first couple strikeouts. They're going to be happy. And like you said, it's completely the right move. What happens if he goes and either gets injured or gets overused and gets injured in one of the next games? You know, you're never going to hear the end of it from fans. So, yeah, he looked great, and I thought they did the right thing, taking him out.
Yeah, the conservative approach, you know, we can look back on a number 34 hard-throwing Texan on the other side of town with what happened to him when he wasn't perhaps taken care of properly. You got to be careful with this kid and all the value that he brings here moving forward. And, you know, if we can pat ourselves on the back a little bit about our artistic photography, as we were standing near the White Sox dugout, Kopech was making his way in from the bullpen. A lot of buzz from the crowd. You could hear the cheers starting to escalate. And as he walked past us, I thought, you know, we might have some award-winning photography that we put out on Twitter there.
We captured the moments. You have me and yourself. We each got a picture. I put it on Twitter. But it's Kopech walking towards us, and you could see him on the Jumbotron right behind him, and you could see us right in front of him. And I thought when I saw him walking to the dugout, I go, oh, cool, this will be cool, we'll get a video. And he started walking right at me because I realized I was standing next to the dugout, and I saw him in the clubhouse before the game. He's huge. He's shredded. Yeah. He's a big, big guy. So thank God I wasn't standing directly in front of the dugout stairs.
But let's face it, the main purpose of that picture and the bright spot of the picture is that, you know, you can see our reflection in the scoreboard.
Oh, yeah, so, you can see us.
That's what it's
all
about.
You can see me on my phone like a fool, like a millennial fool.
We planned it that way.
Yeah.
But again, this isn't Powell at the Park, the great job that Kevin Powell does on his weekly podcast. Let's switch this back to hockey a little bit. And, you know, we've been kind of light so far, but since our last podcast, Stan Mikita, perhaps the greatest Blackhawk, passed away after a long illness. And a lot of tributes coming in. The memories certainly are great ones for a man who, I'm going to make the argument, at least now going into the pre-Taves and Kane era, and maybe still make that argument now when you know, consider those two guys have three Stanley Cups. Stan had just one. Stan came close a few other times. But I still say right now he is still the greatest Blackhawk ever. All-time leader in games played and assists. Second in goals scored. You have the fact that he won two Harts, two Rosses, and two Lady Bings in consecutive seasons in 68, 60, 67, and 68. Those Bings coming after, you know, he was over 100 minutes, 150 minutes in the penalty box. He was that type of player. And for all he accomplished and for playing his entire career with the Blackhawks, I may might still say to this day that he's the greatest Blackhawk on the ice ever before we even get into the conversation in terms of how great he was off the ice.
Yeah, it's incredibly fair to say and take that position. You look at the individual numbers suggest that, like you said, he didn't win those cups, but, you know, I think he was that good. And just the way he... People talk about how he treated people, the way he conducted himself. So the Lady Bings suggests that. And he's just a guy that when you start covering the sport, you never hear anyone say a bad word about him. And when you experience him yourself, he's incredibly kind and gracious. And, you know, I don't know if I would be covering the Blackhawks if it wasn't for Stan Mikita, just in the fact that my dad is a huge sports guy, knows everything about every sport, and I never heard him talk about anyone the way he talked about Stan Mikita. I grew up hearing about how he bent the stick, what a great player he was, along with Bobby. A lot of it was that, too. And a quick story. My dad and my mom took my sister and I, Courtney and I, to see, I think it was a Christmas Carol, or, you know, no, it's a Wonderful Life at Drury Lane around Christmas time. We were kids, and Stan Mikita's son, we knew, was the lead. He was George Bailey in the play. Yeah, he's an actor, and we saw Stan Mikita there after we finished dinner, and my dad was complaining all night about how bad the meat was at the dinner, the beef, and my dad was like, "Oh my God, it's Stan Mikita!" And my dad just said, "Hi, Stan Mikita." He could not have been nicer. And he goes, "Oh, you're a fan of Bobby too? Well, oh, he's over here. Let me take you to him." So, you know, my dad and all of us, we all met Bobby and Stan that night. And Bobby Hall goes, "My dad, hey Bill, beef tastes like crap, huh?" And that was a great night for the King family. So thanks to Stan Mikita.
And we understand the food of the Drury Lane has improved since then.
But, yeah. If they want to be a sponsor, it's
right. No, but and that story is so similar to what we've heard from other people throughout his career and since then, the way he was with people here in the community, giving his time to charity, the hearing impaired hockey camps that he had, and plus all the stories you heard about the way he was with his family, very humbling. And you know, one of the most fun interviews I did at the former employee, we have the show called Inside Look, where we would sit down and do an extensive interview with current and former Chicago Stars. And I had the opportunity to do Stan Mikita before he started getting sick, and it was like a two-hour interview that we had to cut down to 30 minutes, 22 minutes to be exact, once you figure in commercial time, and it was almost impossible. The stories were amazing. So our hearts go out to the Mikita family, his wife Jill, his son Chris, his daughter Jane, and their two siblings, as well as all the grandchildren. Our thoughts are with the Mikita family, but wow, what a legacy that he left behind. Our thoughts are also with Ricky Renteria, the White Sox manager, who isn't managing here tonight, and is returning from Minnesota on Wednesday morning after feeling a little bit lightheaded the other night. He'll continue to undergo tests at Rush Hospital. Better to play it safe than sorry in that situation, especially when the White Sox received such a scare here back in April with one of their players. So good luck to Ricky. As we wrap up here, a couple of other things. I saw you tweeting about an article that you've written. I know you're a big comedian guy, and you had a chance to visit with a guy that you grew a lot of respect for, right?
Jay Moore, yes. I was always a big fan of him. That early 90s, he kind of came in the mid-90s in SNL. Mm-hmm. Those were the years I really watched it and studied SNL, read books about it. So it's very interesting to talk to him. He's a great stand-up. I think one of the best impressionists ever, if you follow comedy that closely. And, yeah, some great stuff in the interview. He was awesome on the phone. He's hilarious. He talked about working with Chris Farley, doing those motivational speaker sketches, how Farley knew when the camera wasn't on him. So when you had to do a line and the camera wasn't on him, he would talk to you cross-eyed, and he would make you laugh. And, of course, Lauren gets mad when you laugh. So great stuff like that, great stuff on doing an impression and how he, you know, I gave him credit for being the first guy to do walk-in on TV, and that became such a big, like, you know, impression the last 10 years or so here. And he told some great stories about doing walk-in, how he crafted it, and how he wound up doing walk-in on Simpsons, which helped because Christopher Walken turned it down because they weren't going to pay him enough, so he wound up doing it himself. It was great stuff. If you got comedy, you'll like the interview.
And where can people find it?
ChicagoNow.com. It's might still be on the homepage. Otherwise, it's on my social media.
Cool.
At Scott King Media.
Okay. And finally, before we wrap up, would you suggest people go visit Aspen sometime soon?
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful town, and they have the best farmers market I've ever seen on the weekends in the summer.
But
you should drive if you don't fly there. You know, whatever it is, 8-10 hours or whatever.
I had to give you grief on Twitter because you were sharing all your airport pain with us.
Everyone, all the other media guys do. I finally had a chance to. I want to feel like I'm in a club, you know. I want to talk about my hotel points and everything. No, I pretty much had good luck flying overall, but that was the first day we're supposed to leave. And mind you, this is the first time we left our kids, so we're having a great time. A wonderful wedding, nice vacation for a couple days. But we kind of want to get home and see our kids, and they had to fly a guy in because Aspen is such a small airport from Denver. And the maintenance guy had a piece to fix the plane, and he wound up breaking that one piece he flew in with. So we had to stay at a hotel, which United put us up at, if they want to sponsor the podcast. It put us up at a nice hotel, had a great, great night. And then the next day, because of Chicago weather, we were delayed. Only like a couple hours, I think. Uh-huh. So, yeah, Aspen's hard to fly out of, definitely. I'll say that.
Well, yeah, I guess we'll stop all our shameless shilling for potential sponsors.
Great town, though.
Yes.
I love that.
We'll be sponsored by Aspen, too. But I'm glad you're home safely, and the kids had been waiting for you. Thank goodness your babysitters were willing to I hope you paid them. I hope you paid them, too.
With love.
Okay. All right. That's the way to...
Children.
That's the way to do it. All right. As we wrap up here, we want to remind you to follow the Blackhawks Crazy Facebook page at facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. That includes Scott's Chelsea Blogger blog. There's going to be a lot more hockey coming up because we're about 3 weeks away from training camp. That's when you could probably expect to hear our next podcast. We will keep you posted. Follow us on Twitter at Scott King Media and at Bowden Tweets. But again, easiest way is just to subscribe on iTunes. And when you do that, it'll pop up whenever we have a new one, and it'll leave a review. We want to thank Joe Romano for piecing this all together, as well as Andy Mazur and Mark Carmen for allowing us to do this in-game, in White Sox game, during their contest against the Minnesota Twins on Tuesday night. We also want to thank you for listening once again. Again, expect something early in training camp. I believe the Blackhawks are reporting on the 14th. The training camp festival at the United Center is the 15th, and all the tickets are on sale right now, too, for the Blackhawks events. The training camp festival, which are only $5 tickets, preseason games, as well as regular season games, which went on sale this past Monday. For Scott King, I'm Chris Bowden. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you at the start of Blackhawks training camp.